What does he do? We are all left in suspense for Bloodline series finale. We are here ending season three, ending the series of Bloodline, and we're bringing it in with a very special guest in studio. So stay tuned for our recap show of Bloodline right here on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's the end, guys. We are here, Blake and Allison, ringing in the series finale of Bloodline. We've been covering this show for 3 years. Bittersweet. It's crazy. We are so thankful that you're joining us tonight, ringing in this final episode. If you're viewing us on YouTube or any other podcast version, please rate us, thumbs up, 5 stars. We love all that stuff. And I'm your host, Blake V. You can find me on all social media at Blake V Media. And I'm joined by my fab co-host, Allison. Where can they find you?
You can find me at The Allison D.
Bam. Excellent.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. That's where you can find her. Mm-hmm. So we are ringing in our final episode here with a very special guest.
Who couldn't show up, so I'm here.
Yes.
We want to go ahead
and introduce him right off the bat. We are here with Eric O'Bannon himself, Jamie McShane.
Hello.
Thank you, Jamie.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So happy.
So we... Yes!
Wow!
Yay! Well done, James.
Thank you, James. The whole soccer stadium.
I love it.
That was Manchester United.
Yes!
That was.
All for Mr. McShane. We had you in last season, mm-hmm. and we were sort of getting introduced to the sort of Eric O'Bannon storyline, and was he a villain, was he not? You know, what was his storyline as opposed to the Rayburns? And then now season three was really... The Eric O'Bannon show. We felt like this whole season.
Yep. I appreciate that. I didn't know that.
We thought that, and actually a lot of the feedback on YouTube that we got was that it was very much, like, save Eric O'Bannon. There was a lot of Eric O'Bannon to this whole season.
Because your character had a very interesting arc, the whole journey of Bloodline, because initially he was the villain, and that's who the family was trying to frame, and he was kind of this guy on the skirts who was just mm-hmm. kind of, you know... not really reliable. And then through all of what we saw, Eric O'Bannon really was the upstanding guy, and we saw how the Rayburns were framing him and, mm-hmm. you know, what they were doing to Eric. So it came full circle, and it was really like a fascinating storyline for Eric.
Well, I think we also didn't know from when you came in last season what the extent of your character was going to be for season three.
I didn't know either.
Right. And I feel like that's what you said to us, I don't really know where it's going to go, because you had that, I think you came on right after you had that intense scene with John. Yep.
Ooh.
That was the one.
Yes.
And so that's sort of where we didn't know what was going to happen next. So it's interesting, everything that happened next.
Yeah, the show's fascinating because it takes people, and in the beginning you think, all right, this is a good guy, this is the troubled guy, this is a dirtbag, which is me, and this and this. And then when you got into who they were and their stories, it was the opposite of what you thought.
Yep.
And Eric and Chelsea, my sister, became really the only upstanding people. And yeah, I dabbled in some crap here and there and whatever, but compared to what they all did.
Right.
Pretty saintly.
I feel like it was, for Eric's character, it felt like more out of a sense of like needing to, you know, trying to get ahead or trying mm-hmm, to, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, make that next move. And even if it was a little shady, it was like what he had to do to get mm-hmm, to the next spot. Mm-hmm. But the Rayburns intentionally just like soiled the situation.
It was survival for him.
It was survival for Eric, and it was intentional for the Rayburns. Yeah.
That's a great way to put
it. The Rayburns were just... dicey, man. Everything. So well, it all stemmed from, you know, I think John actually said it best in this episode when he said to Sally, like, you don't know what family is, or you don't know what love is.
Yeah, that was pretty powerful. And she goes, yeah, maybe not, or something like that.
Yeah,
right.
And so I think that was sort of like really the truth of the entire series is just you're taking a family and so much is built upon this family, but really there is no family.
Yeah.
It's true. And we come into the intro of the finale with John's voiceover, and he's saying, we were raised on a lie that eventually would break us apart. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Is that how season one opened?
Season one opened with I always thought the best thing in the world was being a Rayburn.
But we did a bad thing. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we sure did.
Exactly.
One thing after another. Yeah. It was a string of... yeah. badness.
And it's come full circle.
Before we dive in, can we... So I'd love to know, when did you kind of find out about your role for... Like, what your role was going to be for season three? And then how much of... Like, how much did you learn in terms of, like, you know, did you get... Only the first script of season three?
Or the whole season?
No. Bloodline was always script to script. They were always, you know, reworking and changing things, I think. And the first two seasons, really the first season, it was the three creators, and they would all voice in on something, and then whoever's idea came out the best, they would kind of go with that, and it would morph and move, and they would really go with what the actors gave them, and then they would weave in ways that, you know, they wanted to.
Right.
So it's really always followed that sort of suit where they see where things... They have ideas. I mean, you have to ask them, but they have ideas.
Let's call them now.
And we get it as it comes along, but we never got scripts far ahead of time. I mean, and then there were a lot of changes here and there, but none of that was bad. It was always, but it's just how it was. You know?
Did it affect at all your approach? You know, when you were acting a scene, but you didn't really know what the outcome was going to be two episodes later.
Todd Kessler, one of the creators, said from the get-go, I said, you know, so I can have a whole backstory and this and that. And he goes, yes, have your own backstory, have this and that, but just know it may change
in any instant. Okay.
So I said, okay, so I can think I'm one thing, and then I find out I was adopted from Romania and, you know, in episode three. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how it was. And apparently when they did Damages, you know, it was for some of the people who had come more from film, those actors, it was hard for them to adjust at first to this, you know, they would know everything ahead of time for a film. And here it was changing and morphing all the time. And I guess that was difficult for some, but once they surrendered to it, it was fine. For me, as an actor who guest starred on a lot of shows and never knew what was going on and just had to come in...
It was easy. It was what I knew.
Yeah. It's what I knew. Yeah. So...
So when you got to the point where you thought you were dead and then you ended up in the finale alive... What was that like? Because we were like, what? That's how they kill Eric O'Bannon?
The whole episode 9 was a whole dream sequence with John.
We figured that out later.
But that's how the show has always been. You've never figured out on spot what's up.
She watched episode 9 and she texted me instantly. She's like, have you watched it? Text me when you watch it because WTF. And I watched it and I was like, what is happening?
Yeah.
It was really all over the place.
So... I mean, you never knew what was right on with the show. I mean, it was never a straight shot. It was always curving and always through you. So with episode 9, I remember when they shot it, Kyle and Mikael, the director, they were like giddy because it was so different for them.
That's true.
And it was such a different ride. Now, I think some of the fans have been like, what was that?
Right.
But if you just let go and kind of go with it, and I thought Kyle was amazing in it because you think of what this guy has gone through. He killed his brother. He helped his other brother who killed someone frame me, a guy he grew up with. And
who was
knew,
close to the family,
who
yeah.
Who was close, you know, who knew them all growing up. And all the other stuff he's done, and he's taken this all on. And his family's falling apart. His wife's leaving him. You know, all this crap. And that weighs on a person, I would imagine. So I thought Kyle did an amazing job with it. And it's just, so I knew that when I was in the coffin, which was not easy to shoot, that it was a dream sequence for John.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I wasn't thinking, oh, I'm dead. Oh, I'm back in the next episode.
Right.
You know? He knew what was
It was never real. Yeah.
Yeah, it was never real.
Whereas for us, we were like, I don't know which portion of that might have been real.
Yeah. Because as the viewers, it's like, it seems like it shouldn't be real, but we don't really know.
But that's how this show has been. And I think that's the genius of these creators. It's like... You're never on settled ground. You're on a dock and the waves are always moving on you, you know?
I will say this about the show. I think what it does is it really allows a lot of room for your own interpretation. And I think that's an exciting thing for a viewer because obviously it allows a viewer room to put on their own creative twist in whatever way they can. But then there's like, at least for me, there's like one side of me where I'm like, okay, I like that. And then on the other side of me, I'm like, no. Just be explicit and tell me what is happening.
Yeah.
That's, I think, so for me, it's like this push and pull of, wanting the truth and then wanting my own journey, like the Choose Your Own Adventure novel. True. Like turn to page 92.
Not gonna happen.
Yeah, right, not, right, yeah. Right.
Not gonna happen.
Not so much.
So I would love to kind of hit some major points of the finale and kind of pepper in Jamie's opinion of it, because truly we have a lot of questions.
We have some questions. Shoot away. We had to actually turn to Reddit, and just like
to get the fan opinion. What's of Reddit? A lot of things.
Reddit is like a portal for like Q&A, so like a place where you can find an answer to anything.
Oh, yes, okay. Anybody can report to Reddit and kind of type in their all contribution to whatever question
it's like
you
Wikipedia.
Might have.
It's very much, but exactly. More like where Wikipedia publishes like a general post on something. Mm. Reddit is more.
Opinionated?
It like continues to grow. So it's a chat format. Yes. Where you can
and very much opinionated.
Very, very opinionated. Although Wikipedia sort of can be too. anyway.
You just got sued.
Yeah, I know. Sued! Okay.
So maybe we'll kind of just go by character here. We'll just kind of touch on everybody. Maybe starting with John. I mean, John has, of course, been the main vein through Bloodline. It started with him. It's about his family. It ended with him kind of questioning everything. Some interesting things happened. We opened on the finale with him walking up to Eric O'Bannon on the side of the road in his sort of inmate pick up the trash routine and sort
twigs.
Of sort of tried to
sticks. They weren't that small.
Sticks. I know, I was like sticks.
And sort of tried to
also and that was also a message to us, him picking sticks.
Right?
We're like, oh.
And he sort of tried to come to peace or something with Eric O'Bannon. He kind of was like, what do I need to do to make it right? And Eric's like, hey man, what's done is done. It is what it is, but what you can do is spare Nolan, Danny's son, from ever knowing what awful things you've done.
Interesting. That was all. That was very interesting to me in a way. So, like, on the one hand, obviously, at that point, Eric O'Bannon can't take John's word for anything. So he never really will believe John, no matter what. I think the only way he would believe anything is if he literally saw John on the 5 o'clock news confessing all of his sins. And, like, Eric was witnessing this, like, in prison, watching it happen. And then at that point, I think he would feel vindicated in some way. But until that happens, John just coming up and talking to him on the side of the road, he's like,
right,
F
but,
you.
If, but if John were on the 5 o'clock news confessing all his sins, he'd get a presidential pardon, the Pope would forgive him. You know, I mean, that's
and
that's
Eric
how
would be
that
like, damn it.
You know,
I'd
be
oh,
like,
that's
wow.
Nice, John, that's you know, nice, right?
And I'm in hell feeding Satan,
right?
You know,
yeah. God, it's so just
oh,
crappy.
Eric, I know. Ugh, it's so bad. It's
so crappy.
So John continues through the episode, and he's continuing with these hallucinations that we see from episode 9. And basically, Danny and Nolan are kind of coming into his mind, mm-hmm, trading places. We see him having flashbacks to his childhood with young Danny. Then we see him kind of morphing back into modern-day Nolan. And he's kind of just, all these thoughts are racing in his mind. There's one scene in particular where he goes home to the inn, and Sally is sitting in the kitchen. And it's sort of a friendly exchange initially. She's like, sit down with me, have some salad or something.
Well, he didn't really say anything in that scene.
He didn't.
She just was talking, and I was like, is she really there? What's
yeah, he's
happening?
Kind of lost in the refrigerator.
Yes.
Totally lost, yes. And then she just morphs completely, is gone from the kitchen, and it turns into Danny and Beth. The Beth that we have been wondering her origins the whole season. We've been wondering about
Beth. Well,
she was
in season 1.
Yes, we were told that via Twitter.
And we didn't.
And we were like,
when?
Yeah, well, it was very subtle. But she was in season 1 as a friend of Danny's up in Miami. Someone he could go to. Someone he could rely on. And then she came back in season 3.
Okay, so did
too
not
much
remember
time has passed.
Her in season 1.
I'm old.
But it was interesting, too,
no,
because...
No, that's how...
That's Bloodline.
It's Bloodline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truly.
That's Bloodline.
And it was interesting because in that scene, Danny and Beth are talking, and Danny's kind of explaining, like, Beth's relationship to the family. And it was very interesting. Allison and I were talking about this. So, basically, Danny is introing Beth, and John says, well, isn't she related to us? And Danny goes, no, she's just a friend. She's what family should be, and, you know, we're kind of friends with no agenda. I think maybe she said that.
But I think the great line in that is, she's what family
should
be.
Should be, right. Should that be. Was the
and
significant line.
I think... One of the things with Bloodline is so many people have said, oh, my God, that's my family. That's my cousins. That's my blah, 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 blah. You know, and I can even say that's whatever for me. And I thought it was so poignant for her to say, or for Danny to say, she's what family should be. She's what you should have been as my brother.
Yeah.
And you know, and then you look back at your own families. I don't know about you guys, but you're like, oh, yeah, that's what family should have been. And my best friend from next door, you know.
Was more family than my real family was. Hmm. Yes. Completely.
And that's often the case, I think, for many a people.
Yeah. And that's that little nugget that everyone can relate to in Bloodline, you know? It's that little bit of dysfunction that lives in all of us, all of our families.
But that scene turned out to be just another hallucination, because at least that was what I gleaned from it, because of when she was in the car later on, Beth was in the car with Nolan, and basically he said, I can't believe you've never seen this place, or whatever it was. Then we realized she was never there.
I will say, though, that in the kitchen scene with Danny and Beth, when they were talking about, like, they just hang out with no agenda, I totally got, like, sort of hookup vibes.
Family with benefits. Yeah, we got a little bit of that.
I didn't get platonic vibes. I sort of got, like, they were dating or together or something.
Or hooked up previously.
Yeah, the way they were kind of, like, just telling the story. So
that
then
says a lot about you.
And then it just made me think, oh, man, if she's really the sister.
Right.
I don't know.
What sister?
Beth.
Is the love child of Robert Lamer and Robert's affair. I see.
Yeah.
Which was not confirmed, I don't think.
It was never really confirmed. Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, that's what I think is what's brilliant with the writers and the creators is you can think one thing, I can think another. My mom's going to think something totally different. Yeah. You know, it's like, oh, you know.
And right.
It's true.
They leave that kind of open.
Okay, I think she's the love child of Robert Rayburn.
It makes a lot of
and
sense.
Her mom. Whoever that was. We won't know. But that's what I think.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
All right.
What's your opinion, Jamie?
I have none.
Okay. Okay, so we follow John through the episode and his interactions with Kevin. Kevin has a really big, monumental, pivotal point in this finale. Basically, all of his undertakings have been found out. One of his Cuban contacts turns out to have been connected with the Fed. He set up a whole sting to figure out Kevin. Basically, we come on this scene where he's about to do himself in. He's in the garage with a gun.
That was intense.
So, Katie Finneran in that scene.
Belle. Amazing.
Belle.
She was fantastic.
I thought she was fantastic the whole time.
She was so
stunning.
Wonderful in that scene. And equally, John's wife,
Diana,
in the scene where she's saying to John, "We moved. Well, where's the house and all that?"
Yeah, the speech.
I thought that was incredible.
They were both phenomenal.
For Jacinda,
I mean,
I thought Katie and Jacinda both had these like powerful tour de force scenes that they just were both incredible on, and what a way to have their characters kind of go out, you know?
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, Sissy Spacek kind of had one of those scenes.
Sissy had that
too.
Also.
She did.
Yeah.
So they definitely were choosing. It was interesting how the writers chose to sort of inject these moments for the female leads. I mean, obviously, we didn't get that with Meg. I'm okay with her sort of her storyline ending the way it did. But with these other characters, I think I wanted a little bit more. I know from Sally, and I definitely. I think I was okay with Belle's ending outside of the fact that I didn't agree with how she was the one that, you know, left her GPS on. Because it was sort of...
Yes.
But if you look at Belle through all the things, she's always played, you know, a little light, a little fun. You know, she's always innocent. She's always very innocent. And she's always sweet and she's always nice. And it was only that one scene where she was like, we're going to do this. We're going to get through it.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. She became this powerhouse.
Yeah.
But so it made sense to me. Like, she did that. She got it all together. She packed everything.
And then she forgot one thing.
We got the stuff for the kid. We got the vitamins. We got this for the kid. We got the formula. We got all this. I didn't turn my GPS on.
Okay. All right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I will say this is something that we kind of... kind of predicted a couple episodes ago where... Belle had a question. It was during the trial, and it was when Kevin was on the stand, and he lied.
Yep.
And Belle questioned him and was like, what's going on? You need to tell me. And it was when Kevin basically confessed that he did kill Marco and all this stuff was going on. And we were kind of thinking, uh-oh, maybe Belle might be the downfall of the Rayburn family. She's kind of questioning a lot. She's kind of, you know, feeling the situation. And she wasn't. She just went full
stood by her man.
Support. Yeah.
Stood by her
stood
man.
Stood by
yeah,
him.
Erica Bennett was very disappointed with that.
Yeah. No
yes,
kidding.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Yes.
Makes sense. We were all also very disappointed at how
we
that,
were because we're yeah, like, Belle's going to tear him down.
We're like, salvation yeah, for Eric. No salvation.
So Belle, in all her glory, forgets to turn off the GPS. And basically, John is very instrumental in orchestrating this plan with Kevin. It seems, you know, he's going to turn him into the feds, but really he's going to escape to Cuba. Mm-hmm. What is Cuba? We were very confused if he actually went to Cuba or not.
Well, Cuba's only 90 miles away from Key West. So Cuba is very close. It's an easy boat ride. So is Bimini, which is part of the Bahamas.
The Bahamas.
Okay? That's an easy boat ride from the Keys.
So why would he go to why wouldn't he go to Cuba and go to Bimini instead?
Well, because he...
Oh,
he,
because of the trajectory of, like, the journey?
They would have told over the radio, the I'm feds, going to Cuba, so he misled them. So they call the Coast Guard and the Sheriff's Department. They get the boats out, and they follow the path from a mile north of Marathon or wherever mm-hmm, they were, towards where they would go to Cuba in a direct route. And they track down the boat with helicopters, all that. Then, you know, he goes to Bimini to get to the Bahamas to get away. And then maybe he'll go from there to Cuba.
Later.
Or wherever.
So right, this was my question, because one of the things they brought up was if he went to Cuba, he couldn't be extradited.
Correct.
So the plan was he's going to Cuba, right? But he didn't go to Cuba. He went to the Bahamas instead. So, considering Bahamas is not a protected zone, the feds came in and took him, and we were led to believe that he's been arrested or whatever, and that's his life now. So why wouldn't they divert and maybe say that he's going to the Bahamas instead, and then he really goes to Cuba where they couldn't extradite him?
I guess because he wanted to mislead them to say, I'm going to Cuba. Mm-hmm. So basically, if they get the wrong boat, you know, what you're going to think is, all right, he got to Cuba.
Yeah.
You know, we still have to look for him there, know if he's there or whatever. But he went to Bimini.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're trying to just throw the scent off, you yeah, know, in the wrong direction. They go to Bimini and everything's fine. And maybe eventually, like I said, they go to Cuba or whatever. Yeah. But didn't happen.
Oh, Kevin.
I wish they would have. Why didn't they travel at night is my question.
Right.
I mean,
and then I wondered if it wasn't part of John's, like, really complex plan of kind of setting Kevin up anyways to be caught eventually.
Because what does he say to Kevin? That, he says,
I mean, that's a thought. I mean, traveling on a boat at night, if you don't
hard,
really know
right,
what you're doing. And,
but he
and the Keys, he does know, but he knows the water of the Keys. And yeah, I only learned this from being there. The water in the Keys, until you get to a certain point, is very shallow. Like, you can go a couple miles out, and it's only, like, maybe 18 feet deep at some oh, points. And you don't, there are things you can hit. You can get to shallow zones if there's tides out. You can get grounded. I
wow,
mean, I've seen oh, boats actually get grounded when then they're stuck.
Oh.
And people can't get them out.
Okay.
So that happens, something I didn't know before.
Oh, that's fascinating. I didn't know that
now,
either about that area.
I guess you have to get a certain many miles out, but, you know, I don't think it's that easy.
Okay. I mean.
Okay, interesting.
All right.
Very interesting. So, Sally, let's talk about Sally for a little bit.
Hot mess.
A hot mess. Well, okay, so I think that our kind of consensus, Allison, was that all along seasons 1, 2, and 3 were kind of alluding to, like,
something
like this secret, this thing,
this thing,
you know, whatever, that, like, Sally's keeping secret. And
that was the mastermind, which she was.
She was.
She was.
She
turned them all into liars.
She did. But I think that we were really waiting for, like, a
big send-off.
Big, like, reveal
yeah,
or, like, a big confrontation or, I don't know, something. And even though she had kind of her meltdown with each of her children and kind of said what they did to her
that was
personally or whatever.
Heavy.
I felt like it was more. I felt like we needed more from Sally in terms of, like, this big secret that she'd been keeping lifelong.
First of all, there was no mastermind other
right,
than the writers. Because this is a family who just tried to keep everything together. Keep it all together.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to leave my husband. What? My daughter died. Regroup. You know, my husband beat the crap out of my son and broke his arm. Regroup.
Yeah.
This happened. And they keep covering up. So there is no mastermind. John tries to play big brother, even though he's the second in line.
Yeah.
He tries to be the big brother who's controlling everything and keeping everything. All right, I got to keep this okay.
Right.
But he can't. And eventually, that's why he cracks. And that's why in episode 9, he's going nuts.
Right.
Because he's been trying to hold this all together, as Sally has as well. I disagree in that I think when Sally is in the kitchen with Kevin and John, and she basically breaks down and says, I can't sell the inn. I can't get my, you know, this was going to be my nest egg, and I was going to give it to the grandkids, and this was my dream. I've been working 40-some years for this. With all the turmoil I've been through, with what's happened to my kids, two of my kids are dead, and she lets loose about, you were a bastard, you were weak, I should have let you come out naturally, but they cut you out. I should have made you struggle out and either die or live. And, you know, Danny was good, but he was always a lost soul. Blah, 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 blah. John, you were the worst. You were the bastard. So this golden child, who's always been the good boy, has always done the right thing, even though he killed his brother, has, you know, but everyone forgives him for that. And she's finally saying, you were the worst of them. You were the total bastard. I thought that was an incredible finishing for the character.
Mm-hmm. And that was a really shocking moment, because we've gone through all the seasons seeing John as like the fixer, right? Like they all go to John to always fix the problem, and he's, you know, kind of helping everybody out of the situation. And for her to like turn on him and call him out and say, it's your fault for everything, that was pretty major.
Ooh. So I mean, I don't know how you could top that as far as having a character go out.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, I see that you're like, I wish they would. I don't see it.
Okay, so I think the one storyline, though, that they were definitely dangling in our face in a pretty serious way was her relationship with Roy Gilbert.
Absolutely.
And yes. I think that there was a lot of inferences made between what happened between the two of them. Like, obviously, in the finale episode, John mentions there was an affair between the two, and Kevin punts that and says, no, there's, you know, there was just something that happened, and, you know, they were part of the cover-up for what Roy did. And blah, blah. So it's like, it's almost like we don't really know what happened. I said in one of the previous after shows that I thought that there was something that happened between them. We don't know if he fathered, if she really, one of the kids was really Roy's
kid.
That's
what I thought. That maybe Roy fathered one of the kids. Well, maybe Kevin even or something. Right. And that's why he had that sort of attachment to Kevin and really thought of him like a son. More like Roy. Yes.
So this is one of those things where, but we never really got and this could be just the writers being like, figure it out, people. You're smart. Mm-hmm. You're a smart crowd. You can figure it out.
I mean, and they did that the whole time.
Yeah.
It was really a lot.
Gotta be a smart person watching Bloodline. Really, the Tetris of life here. Yeah. Figure it out.
The Tetris of
life. Fit it all together.
So, the season ends with John kind of coming back to the inn. And he basically is...
Of course.
He's basically kind of, you know, just walking through his home and looking at the pictures and the things and just having sort of...
memories.
Flashbacks. Yeah. Of kind of living there. And all the episode long, we've sort of seen flashbacks of Danny and Nolan and young Danny and all these kind of things in his head. It's toying with him whether or not he should tell Nolan the truth or not tell him anything or what he should do. So basically, we kind of end with Nolan being on the dock. John walks out to meet him, and we don't know what he does. It could go any way. The very last scene is we have young Danny saying, don't do it. He doesn't need to know. Just leave it alone. And then older Danny is saying, just tell him. That's all he wants to do is know the truth. So we're really left to just wonder what he does.
I mean, here's the thing, though. He also opens the episode saying, in his voiceover, nothing matters more to me than the truth.
Yeah.
So
maybe this would be a good time to see, what do we think John did?
Well, I think the irony is John has been struggling with trying to tell the truth. He does it with Aguirre in the car, where he confesses. He says, look, I am responsible for Danny's death. I'm also responsible for helping Kevin frame Eric O'Bannon. And Aguirre says, nah, don't worry about it. You know, like, you're just stressed. You're going through
some
trouble.
You're
paranoid.
Yeah.
You're paranoid. Paranoia happens.
Yeah.
And he excuses John, and John, Kyle is great, because he just looks at him like, he has this look at like,
can't believe
I'm
it.
Trying to tell you.
You're not hearing me.
I did this. I'm responsible for this. I want to vindicate myself. I'll take whatever happens. And Aguirre is like, yeah, it's okay. You know? So you have all that buildup, and you have his mom saying, you were the worst. You were the, you know... Basically, I hate you, and you've been the good guy all your life, and you screwed up and you killed your brother because all this stuff happened.
Right. Yeah. Making excuses
And then you're
for
trying
it.
To fix everything that happened, and then you're like, no, I'm going to go go ahead and go do it. And even when he had the gun at my eye in the end of season two, he didn't kill me. And he goes, go tell your story. So he's ready to go down at that point. And then Kevin kills Marco.
And then that's
and then it's a whole nother thing.
Right.
So then it's not that he doesn't want to.
It's so true.
He doesn't want to confess. It's that he's got to protect his brother because that's what he does.
And Kevin gave me a stomachache all of season three. Every single episode, I was like, "What's going on?"
Next?
Like Kevin was just like a child almost. Like the decisions he was making were just crazy. And he kept, like, once Roy got involved, he kept going to Roy for things. And despite what Kevin, John would say, he'd still go back to Roy. And it was just like so frustrating that he couldn't make a reasonable decision on his
own. But he says that at some point in the last episode. He basically says, I've screwed up my whole life. I've made all the wrong decisions. I've never, you know, I've never done anything right, you know. And he is like a, he's like a kid who's lost, who's never, you know. I mean, I
and what I thought was really funny too was in the scene where Kevin and John are in the kitchen with Sally, and she's kind of going down the line saying what each kid did. She talks about Danny, and she's like, "I knew he was lost," but Kevin juts in and he goes, "No, Mom, Kevin ruined his own life, and that was his own decision."
Projecting much.
But it was like, it's like...
What do you mean Kevin?
I'm sorry. He was talking about Danny. He was saying Danny messed up his own life. It was, you know, his choice and no one else's. But it's like Kevin's doing the same thing to his life. So it was it was that moment of, you know, tearing Danny down, but really talking about yourself.
Did you have any overlap with Ben Mendelsohn this season or no? Like, did you see him at all during filming?
Yeah, I saw him a little bit. I saw him a little bit during filming. Trying to think because I got confused with the last season. Yeah, I saw him a couple times, and then he had a birthday party for his little daughter out here, and you know, I saw him then and all that sort of stuff.
Cute.
So,
because it's sort of like, you know, you guys are now in like your own frat together.
The Bloodline frat.
I have to say, everyone on Bloodline was, they were just the nicest group of people, from Kyle and Sissy and Ben down to, you know, the last PA, and it was just the nicest group of people. It was just, it was a joy.
How was it working with John Leguizamo?
Oh, John was great. He was very, he's kind of self-effacing and just kind of like, you know, he's, I mean, I'm a dad, he's a dad, and it's, he's just, he's exceedingly talented. He's very unique, and he's very easy to work off of because you can throw him anything. And that's what I found with everyone on our cast. We were lucky because not everyone's like that. But he'd just be like, oh, my kid. My kid's doing, you know, it's just like he's a regular guy going through the same
And he's a busy guy, too. He's doing a one-man show.
He does a one-man show. He's doing like a one-man show in Miami. He's like, I gotta get out of here.
Filming.
I gotta go to, you know,
incredibly busy. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, was there like a favorite scene for you this season or?
This season, my favorite scene was the one with my sister when we were talking about Woody Woodpecker.
Oh, the story, in the jail when they were
through the glass. The exchanges between you and Chloe Sevigny this season, I thought were
fantastic.
Magical.
Chloe's
I really did.
A sweetheart.
Fantastic.
She's a doll.
And I loved how Chloe sort of, or we'll call her Chelsea for sake of example, sort of came to Eric's aid this season.
Yeah.
It's sort of like in the previous seasons, she was kind of like, oh, Eric, what is he doing? Like, he's getting into trouble. Leave him alone. But now she kind of saw the truth of what it was.
But that was the thing. That's what I loved about Todd Kessler had told me ahead of time. He goes, we wrote this scene with Woody Woodpecker, and it's my favorite scene thus far in the whole season.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I, you know, Woody Woodpecker, all right. And then you get the scene, and then you see what it is, and you hear Chelsea say, you know, you said that story the same way every time, all the time. And I'm like, well, I'm not good at making stuff up.
Uh-huh.
She goes,
it was so poignant. We loved that scene.
Yeah.
We loved it. Yes.
It was up there.
So I would say that, the one with Kyle with the gun.
For season two.
Okay.
For season two.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Please. Okay, we're reading each other's minds. Go for it.
Okay, so, I mean, that was an amazing scene. Incredibly high adrenaline, intense. I mean, John at his peak, Eric at his peak. Just going head-to-head. It was fantastic. We sort of saw what it did, how it ended, and then this was the question that I had through the season, which your comment may be different, but this was my question. So after that scenario, John separates from Eric and they kind of go about their business for a while. Then, in the beginning of this season, John comes back and finds Eric, who's gone down into
your
whatever.
Your little island.
Your little nook. The nook.
Mangroves.
The mangroves. And he gives him the gun. He gives him some stuff of Danny's. He, like, plants this stuff on him. And later, Eric is arrested by the...
Aguirre.
Sure. And he's got all the stuff on him. And we were like, why would he have all the stuff on him? Why wouldn't he have tossed it in the river and rode on down the road or whatever? He
had Found the next mangrove.
He had all the stuff on him. So we had wondered the whole season.
Hashtag save Eric O'Bannon.
Yeah, why he would have gathered those goods that John planted on him.
Basically, John, I mean... I had to hightail it out of there quick because I'm getting framed for a murder I didn't commit.
Right.
Yeah. I'm already suspect on other stuff, you know, and everyone's after me. There's only one road in the Keys. That's it. If you don't get out from that road and get to Miami, you can't get out via walking or road or anything. Mm. There's no way. The only way is by boat. Eric's pretty savvy with a boat. In the Keys, there's these mangroves. There's these bushes that overgrow everything. And there's places to hide within the mangroves. So Eric gets a boat. He grabs whatever he can, gets on a boat, and starts going. John figures out where he is, blah, blah, blah. He's trying to hide out because you've got the Coast Guard. You've got the sheriff. They've all got boats. They've got helicopters. They can track you down.
Right.
So he's trying to wean his way up to... towards Miami. He's got to get to the Everglades, which is not the safest place for being in a boat, to try to get, you know, through there to Miami to meet up with Leguizamo's character and to try to find some safety. So John comes under the guise of, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help save you.
Yeah.
Here's a gun to protect yourself. Here's, you know, some food, some this, maybe a little cash, whatever. And Eric, at that point, he hasn't slept.
He's clinging to whatever.
He's constantly drunk. John comes. It's like
a savior. Moment.
But first, it's like, oh my God, are we back in the shack again? Is this? Are you coming to kill me? Finally, do this.
Yeah.
And John throws him a gun, and he's like, oh, it's not loaded. You know, there's all this craziness for Eric. Like, what is going on? I'm being framed. I don't know what's going on. I'm not brilliant.
Should Eric have shot John?
He tried to, and it was the gun was empty. And then John threw the bullets later.
Oh, John.
You know?
Yeah.
That was an intense scene.
So it was, you know, so Eric took the stuff because he's not sure what he's doing. He doesn't know the gun is the gun that killed Marco.
Right.
You know, he's still gullible enough to think, oh, John, the kid I grew up with.
Yeah.
He is trying to help me. Oh, he is being good.
Right. My best buddy's brother.
Yeah, he is being good. And then... he gets screwed over.
Okay, I have a question. What was the thing that you learned about yourself as an actor within this role as Eric O'Bannon? Like, were there any surprises that you had or any sort of, like, ahas for yourself? Like, wow, I didn't know that about myself, or I didn't know I could do that, or I don't know, anything like that.
Wow, that's a great question. I wish I had, like... time to think on it. I will say...
Take your time.
No, I will say, I think for me, this was my first series regular.
Right.
And it took me 25 years to get it. And it's a different thing when you become part of the real fabric of a show. I had a little bit of on Sons of Anarchy and a little bit on Southland where I was in a lot.
I loved Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, thank you. But this is like, this is like where you feel like, all right, even if I'm not in that much, I'm part of the show.
Oh, yes, you are. Yeah.
And you feel
a major
that.
Part
thank
of
you.
Bloodline, truly.
So you feel that, and then the cast was so welcoming, and it's like, you know, when I got cast in this, for me it was like, I'm a hockey player. I made the All-Star team, but I'm third line on the All-Star team, but I made the team.
Right.
And I'm skating with the best. So for me, it was like, oh my God, Sissy Spacek, it's Sam Shepard, it's Kyle Chandler. I didn't know who Ben was, and then Ben was.
Was amazing,
I was his best friend. And so I think as an actor, I've grown tremendously as an actor and just as a man from getting to work with these people and being in this situation, And to get to work off Ben and Kyle and Chloe that much. I mean, also Kevin and Sissy and all that, but I didn't have that much interaction with them. You know, Leguizamo I had a lot with. To get to play at that level a lot, you know, it's like it raises your game and you become a bit more confident, for at least for a little while, you know, in what you're doing. And then the reinforcement from everyone, and then everyone was so nice.
Right.
And it was just, it was like a dream. On top, it was a dream. It was a dream job.
So now is there like more talks with you and the Kesslers or?
They hate me.
No, impossible.
I don't know what they're going to do next. I mean,
they'll do something.
Yeah, I'm sure they
will. They're definitely going to do something.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know what they're up to next and if there's anything for me or if they want me.
Do we think there's going to be any revisit to Bloodline in the future?
No.
It's done.
I believe
it's dead.
Well, here's the thing, though. This often happens with many things. Like, we thought Mariah Carey retired, and, like, you know, like these things happen.
And here she is floating in the Dead Sea.
Hang on. All right,
Mariah Carey?
Is coming to Bloodline.
Stop it!
I think that's it.
I mean,
I think it's one of those things where, depending on how it lives within the Netflix atmosphere in the years that go on, whatever, you know, who knows how Netflix may petition for some kind of a reunion to happen or something to happen. I mean, obviously, we have the Fuller House show, so it's like, you know, Stranger Things have
Bloodline
happened.
30 years later,
you
when
know, we don't know.
Eric gets out of jail.
I don't think so.
What's on the agenda for you?
Like, what are you doing?
Is there anything you can tell us? Is there anything?
Yeah, I mean,
you can tell us?
Bloodline just changed my.
Thank goodness.
Status.
Yes.
So.
And we applaud this.
Thank you. It's been pretty neat. But I'm going to Canada next week to do. Did you guys ever see the movie 3 Days of the Condor? With you probably don't know, but Robert Redford.
I feel like I know of this, but I don't.
Faye Dunaway. It was an amazing movie. They made a series of it with William Hurt and Brendan Fraser. But I'm going to do just a couple episodes of it for that. But it's an amazing script. And then I did a pilot called Unsolved about the murder of Biggie Small. Yeah, and
amazing.
It was really good. I saw the pilot, and I think. I might be going back to that if all is good for a little bit, and then I auditioned for a recurring role on Bosch that I'm in. I know I'm in the running for. I don't know that I'm going to get it, but that would be nice.
Got our fingers crossed.
So we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
All right, things are happening though.
You got some movement.
We want 2018 to be the year of Jamie McShane.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
That'd be nice.
Well,
2018 till like till the next 30, 40 years.
And then more.
The end of time.
I got kids to support.
2018 and more.
Lord.
Well, we are big fans of yours, Jamie.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We appreciate you so
much
coming in.
I'm big fans of
yours.
Oh. I am.
Okay. Hello.
Thank you.
Well, we've been huge fans.
Wait, did we forget any questions, though? This is so sad. I'm really can we stay here? James, can we stay here for
another? As big of a deal as it is for you, Jamie, like ending acting on Bloodline, it's as big a deal of us as covering it.
Yeah, we knew it was coming. Like, and the other thing was Kyle got to be one of the best friends I've ever had in my life, and I've had some good ones. And that was sad. You know, I got to spend 3 seasons, and I got very close with Ben, too, but Ben wasn't around as much. So that was sad. And just to have this ensemble of actors who really, and the crew, and all the crew, it was just an ensemble of people who really liked each other, who really liked going to work, and everyone felt like we're giving a product.
Right.
So whether you're helping to feed the cast and crew, or you're you know, throwing wires down and plugging things in, or you're playing a role, we all felt like we're building something, and it was very special.
That's so nice.
Lordy, I can't take it anymore.
No.
That was a good one.
So good. Well, I mean, what better way to end it than the fact that everyone was fabulous on set too? Yeah.
That's
it was
true.
A great cast and a great experience.
I feel some resolve in hearing your perspective on a lot of this stuff, because like hearing it from your lens makes me sort of reevaluate things.
Oh, cool.
We were seeing it very different.
It's very
before
helpful.
We talk to you.
In the sense of like the character's character, it makes a lot more sense hearing how you binned it all. Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Like unspun it.
How you spun
it. The spin. Yes. That's what I meant. So very, I feel a little bit more, I feel okay. I feel more okay about how things shaped up.
Because we were shook before we started this, let me tell you.
We were shook.
We had some unanswered questions.
We literally, after last week's episode, because last week we covered 8 and 9, we both went home and immediately watched the finale because we were like, what happened? What happened? What happened? And then immediately after, we were like, what the hell just happened? What the hell just happened?
So before we end, because this is it, do you have any other unanswered questions? Is there anything that's puzzling or bugging you?
Well, wait. So do you feel like Beth was really the love child of Robert Rayburn and someone?
Do I feel?
Do you feel?
I don't.
Oh.
But I don't know. But I've also given up knowing
a lot of stuff. Okay, anything. Fair enough.
Okay, we had another question.
I have two kids. I've given up knowing anything.
I get it.
Okay, we questioned Ozzy a little bit because Ozzy kind of
came back and left.
Like he came in, he kind of stirred up some stuff. He accosted Sally. He was like, "What's going on here?" And then he just killed himself. So I think we're sort of wondering, along with some fans, we got some comments.
Like, why
did he kill himself?
I think because he got bopped on the head pretty hard earlier in one of the episodes when he had that whole fight with the guy. And I think he started having this, like, coming to Jesus realization that...
Come to Jesus.
You know, I'm trying to make things right. And I'm, again, like... Not quite like John, but he was trying to come to terms with everything he'd done.
Yeah.
He'd done some really bad things.
And right.
I think he was trying to just settle things like, oh my God, I'm aware now that I've done all these bad things, and I want to make it right. And then it came down like, oh, the hell, boom. And like, I'm not going to be able to do it. I'm not going to get a chance to do it, so I'll do it myself. I'll just do myself in, you know? And I think John was trying to come clean also and was never... And John actually tried, like, and he was never given the chance. And I think Eric was like, I haven't done anything that bad.
Yeah,
I haven't done anything that bad.
Comparatively,
I stole some gas.
It's so true. I mean, honestly. Really, I also, I mean, part of me, my heart broke a little bit for Chelsea, just in sense of, it's like she was really just putting her best foot forward in as many ways as she could. I mean, when she stole that medicine, I was like, girl.
One pill.
I know. I was like, girl, you know better. There's cameras in this freaking pill closet.
One pill.
I couldn't believe that. I was like, oh, girl, you're destroying your life.
It was so frustrating. And then she goes in with the manager or whatever, and she fires her. And it was just like, oh, the most painful moment. She's already going through so much with her family. Her mother's passed away.
Her family's hated.
I know.
Right. And then when she got pulled over by the cop.
Oh.
And he totally, like, took advantage of the situation. And she's like, that's because of my brother. It's because of my family. It's because of what...
I think this show made me fall in love with her a little bit. I have to say.
Say that again.
And Eric.
The
show made us fall in love with Chelsea.
Yeah.
And Eric.
Oh, in a sense of, you know, like, because we've seen her in other stuff. But it was just, it's different. Like, I feel like this role...
It was so personal.
Yeah. There's something about
it. And we just started having such negative feelings about the O'Bannons because of the setup.
Mm-hmm.
And then just through the journey, we saw it for what it was. It was like an amazing story arc.
Trying to get by and do the right thing.
Yeah.
But survive.
Yeah. Yes. That's really what it was for the O'Bannons. Man, oh man. Oh man, oh man. James.
And that again is still why I love the scene about Woody Woodpecker with Chelsea.
Yeah.
And you see what they went through as kids and how he protected her. And how she realizes that and all that.
And I'm saying, I just want everyone to know, I'm saying James because our engineer is James, and I'm saying James because I'm hoping that he's just going to continue the clock for us.
He probably shut it off like 30 minutes ago.
I'm literally like...
He's watching a Brady Bunch rerun.
No, he's not. But I'm like, I don't want everyone to think that I'm like saying Jamie as James.
This is probably James over here. James. No, but really, and I think that was like the turning point, don't you think? When they had that conversation, it was like you really knew what the truth was, and you're like, Eric's telling the truth. This is messed up. What the Rayburns are doing, Eric's telling the truth. We are like hashtag Team O'Bannon.
But man was the acting good.
It was a stellar
everything was stellar.
I am exceedingly grateful that I got to be part of that cast.
Well, I mean, just, they're lucky to have had you because you certainly made your major mark on that show. I mean, truly, I don't know any better person to have played the role of Eric O'Bannon because you freaking shot it out of the park. Yes, you did.
Truly, truly. I mean, as much as we would love a season 4 of Bloodline, it is what it is.
I was like, I was saying to Blake, I was like, how the hell are we going to hang out with Jamie again?
I don't know. We just gotta
figure something out. Oh, the next show.
That's right. Please come back anytime for any of your future projects. We would love to have you back.
Yes, absolutely.
This has been fantastic, Jamie. Thank you so much. We are big fans of you, big fans of Bloodline. Just we're so excited that you rang in the finale with us.
Oh, thank you.
The finale!
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks everyone out there too for just being on this journey with us.
Yes, for all you Bloodline fans out there. If you have any remaining questions that we didn't cover, reach out to us, let us know. We'll hit Jamie up, maybe hold on. Hand us a few answers and we'll disperse them. But thank you so much for being a part of this journey for us for all 3 seasons. It's crazy. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next one. I have been your host, Blake V. You can find me on all social media at Blake V Media.
And I'm Allison Dean. You can find me everywhere at The Allison Dean. And that's Jamie McShane right there.
Probably can't find me anywhere.
You can't find him anywhere, except you can find him in a whole lot of TV
amazing
and movie shows. Hopefully movie action.
Yes, and huge thank you to Jamie McShane for joining us tonight. We appreciate it so much. Fun. Thank you.
Again, the Manchester
crowd. Yes! We're down. Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.